Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie, now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. I appreciate everybody tuning in. It is Memorial Day weekend. I'm always reluctant to say Happy Memorial Day because Memorial Day weekend is actually such a really somber kind of weekend. But so I'll just say it's Memorial Day weekend. So here's what I'd like to do. First, let's get the rules of engagement out of the way because they apply even though it's Memorial Day weekend. You can always text the word Mike or Michael to 33103. I read the text messages 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So regardless of when you're listening to the program, whether you're listening on a podcast, your affiliate carries the program on a different day, different hour, you can always send me your comments, questions, ask Michael anything by texting the word Mike or Michael to 33103. And of course, if you'd like to follow me on social media, you would like to find the podcast, find an affiliate, find out which affiliate carries the program and what time, simple website to go to, one-stop shop. MichaelSaysGoHere.com. MichaelSaysGoHere.com. So it is Memorial Day weekend. And so I do want to take some time out to do a couple of things during today's program. One, let's talk about what Memorial Day is and what it means. And let's also talk about what Memorial Day is not. Because I think a lot of times people get confused. Memorial Day, Veterans Day, Armed Services Day. We have these different days which memorialize and which commemorate certain aspects of the foundational principles of this country. Even the 4th of July is one of those days. But Memorial Day is a special day. And I know, in fact, I'm tempted at some time during the program today, I may actually go through and talk about some of the great things that are on sale. Because Memorial Day is typically thought about in terms of two things, which drive me nuts. Number one is, oh, it's the start of the summer. It's the start of summer. No, really, that doesn't occur until June. And then, two, the Memorial Day sales. I know that as you go about your Memorial Day weekend, you'll see commercials on television. You'll hear commercials on radio about, oh, this is the weekend to buy this. This is the weekend to buy that. Well, not really. So I want to take the next few hours and really focus on what's Memorial Day all about. You know, the United States has fought 12 major wars and, of course, a lot of smaller skirmishes throughout the history of this entire country. Memorial Day is the day and is how we honor the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen, the airwomen, the Marines, those that did not come back from those wars and those skirmishes. Memorial Day dates back to the months immediately following the Civil War, when a few towns in both the North and the South and some of the major cities began actually honoring their dead. In 1868, for example, General John A. Logan, at the time the head of an organization for Union veterans, and later who became a U.S. Senator from Illinois, and actually as a footnote, if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., you may have been to Logan Circle in Washington, D.C. Logan Circle is actually named for General Logan. He called for May 30th to be designated as Decoration Day. He said the purpose would be for stewing the memories of those who died during the Civil War. So, what is Memorial Day? The Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, the Civil War claimed more lives than any conflict in American history. And it really did require the establishment of the country's first national cemetery. Here in Colorado, we have Fort Logan. The most famous of all probably is Arlington National Cemetery just outside Washington, D.C., across the Potomac in Virginia. At the top of Arlington National Cemetery is Lee's Mansion, General Lee's Mansion during the Civil War. But there are also the national cemeteries, for example, the Normandy Cemetery from World War II. If you ever have the chance to go to Normandy, see the beaches, see the cemeteries? It's an amazing place to visit. If you ever have the opportunity to go to Washington and visit, for example, the Korean War Memorial, the World War II Memorial, the Vietnam Memorial, every single one of those memorials. In fact, I'll tell you a story about my dad at the Korean Memorial later in the program. But because of the Civil War, and because of the hundreds of thousands of Americans that died during that war, we had the establishment of the country's first national cemetery. So by the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to all of the fallen soldiers. And they started decorating the graves with flowers, and they would recite prayers. Now, it's not clear, in my research, it's really not clear where that tradition originated. But different communities, different cities, different towns probably independently initiated their own memorial gatherings. This is one of those situations where something begins to happen organically. And it happens in different places around the country. And only does it reach a tipping point where suddenly everyone begins to recognize, oh, we all seem to kind of be doing the same thing on the same day and sort of doing all the same things on the same day. Now, some records show that one of the earliest Memorial Day commemorations was actually organized by a group of former slaves in Charleston, South Carolina. Less than a month after the Confederacy surrendered in 1865. I think this is so important to note, because often overlooked in the Civil War are the role that black Americans played during the Civil War. And probably the earliest Memorial Day commemoration was actually organized by those formerly enslaved human beings. And of all places, in Charleston, South Carolina. And the timing for me is fascinating, because it was less than a month after General Lee surrendered in 1865. But it wasn't until 1966 that the federal government declared Waterloo, New York, the official birthplace of Memorial Day. Now, I could go down a rabbit hole here and say, well, no, wait a minute. We fought the Civil War in part, in a large part, over slavery. So why don't we determine, and why didn't the federal government determine that the birthplace a Memorial Day was Charleston, South Carolina? Because what better way, what better place to commemorate Memorial Day than in a place where slaves who fought along with white Americans first started honoring their dead? But no, for whatever reason, the federal government in 1966 decided that it's going to be Waterloo, New York. Waterloo, which first celebrated the day on May 5, 1866, was chosen because, well, they had an annual community-wide event. Sounds kind of trite, doesn't it? So you compare and contrast for a moment that in Charleston, South Carolina, less than a month after the end of the Civil War, Black Americans are commemorating their honored dead in Charleston, South Carolina, in the heart of the Confederacy. But oh no, we can't do that. We have to declare that Waterloo, New York, because they first celebrated on May 5, 1866, actually, almost a year later than Black Americans were doing the same thing in Charleston, South Carolina. But it was chosen because, hey, they had an annual community-wide event. Businesses closed down. Residents decorated the graves of soldiers with flowers and flags. Now, footnote. Do you know that every single Memorial Day, there is a national moment of remembrance that takes place at precisely 3 p.m. local time? So I don't know what time you're listening to this program, but whatever time you're listening to the program, on Memorial Day, which is technically Monday, at 3 o'clock, have a favor to ask. Would you just stop for just that one moment? At 3 o'clock, maybe you have an uncle, your father, a grandfather. Maybe you've studied someone in history. Maybe it's someone that is only known to you. But stop at 3 o'clock on Monday, Memorial Day, and just take, I don't care, 5 seconds, 30 seconds, 5 minutes. Doesn't take, it's like saying a silent prayer. Just take that one moment and remember that one individual. Then I have another favor to ask. At the same moment that you remember that one individual that was important in your life, think about all those people that you don't know. In all of those wars, beginning in the Revolutionary War, all the way through Iraq and Afghanistan, and all the wars in between, stop and just think about those people who gave the ultimate sacrifice, something that most Americans aren't willing to do, and stop and remember them. That's your first assignment. So let's go back to the history of Memorial Day. So let's go back to General John Logan. On May 5, 1868, as I said earlier, General Logan, who was this leader of an organization for Northern Civil War veterans, he actually put a call out for a nationwide day of remembrance later in that month, later in May. He says, quote, the 30th of May, 1868 should be designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, every village, and every hamlet churchyard in the land. As he called it that day, Decoration Day. And it was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle or any particular war or any significant day in any particular war. It was chosen because it was none of those. It was neutral. And on the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield, who later became president, gave a speech at Arlington National Cemetery. 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Civil War soldiers there's to this day still buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Now, a lot of the northern states, they had similar commemorative events, and they reprised the tradition in subsequent years. So by 1890, every one of those places had made Decoration Day an official state holiday. Now, the southern states, on the other hand, continued to honor the dead on separate days until after World War I. So there's a brief history of Decoration Day, but that's not Memorial Day. So how did we get to Memorial Day? Here's a history of Memorial Day coming up next. Remember, you can text the word Michael to 33103. You can always go to the website, michaelsaysgohere.com. It's Memorial Day weekend, and we're understanding and talking about the significance of this coming Monday. I'll be right back.
I am dedicated. I am TNT.
With Team and Training, you will reach your best physical self so blood cancer patients can reach theirs. Change your life by joining a marathon, half marathon, triathlon, or a cycle event, and you'll change the lives of blood cancer patients.
I am committed. I am TNT.
After 600,000 participants and almost $1 billion raised for treatments, TNT has helped the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society make a significant impact in the advancement of blood cancer therapies that save lives every day.
I am making a difference. I am TNT.
Join TNT. Expand your circle of friends to be part of a very special community. Train with world-class trainers and have the chance to be part of the most exciting endurance sports events in the country. Or train on your own schedule with TNT Flex. Join TNT and fundraise while you train and take part in getting us all closer to a world without blood cancers.
Join TNT now. Go to teamintraining.org.
Join Token's radio show every Tuesday night starting at 6 on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as host Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Token's radio show with Linda and Christy Tuesday nights at 6 on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Helicopter rides, airplane rides, classic cars, aircraft displays. It's all happening this Father's Day. Aviation Day, Sunday, June 15th, from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Benton Airfield in West Reading. Admission is free and parking is free. Sponsored by the Reading EAA. Come for a great breakfast put on by the Mount Shasta 99s from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. Adults are $10. Kids from 5 to 12, $5. Kids under 5 are free. Aviation Day, 2025, Father's Day, Benton Airfield.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
And this weekend we're doing a history and I hope some thoughtful things about Memorial Day weekend. It's an important weekend for me because I have my maternal grandfather was a World War I veteran. And he has, in fact, I want this from my mother. I've told my mother of all the things, you know, parents do this. You know, when I die, what do you want? Mom, I really don't want anything except this picture of your dad, my grandfather, with his platoon, battalion, I'm not sure what it was, but a group of him and his fellow soldiers in this long sepia-colored photograph that is about almost 2 feet long and only about, I would say, 8 inches high. And I say it's sepia-colored, but it's all of these doughboys from World War I. And I can picture I can see my grandfather in the picture. He had a very distinctive face. And so I can picture him. There's about 3 rows of them, and he's on the front row toward the far left side. And I want that photograph when my mom passes away because it's so meaningful to me. The stories that my grandfather would tell me about World War I, not a lot, but he'd tell me a little bit. And he was a staunch anti-communist, and he was a staunch believer in, you know, the American dream. And so that photo and his stories make Memorial Day important to me, just as my father does, my father who served in the Korean War. So let's talk about Memorial Day. We talked in the last segment a little bit about Decoration Day. But Decoration Day gradually became known as Memorial Day. And it originally honored only those that were lost fighting during the Civil War. But then comes along World War I. And the United States found itself embroiled in another huge, major conflict. And so Decoration Day, that holiday evolved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all of our wars, including World War II, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Well, for decades, Memorial Day continued to be observed on May 30th. That was the date that, remember, General Logan, we talked about in the last segment, that was the date that he had selected for the first Decoration Day. But then we get to 1968. And in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. That established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May because the Uniform Monday Holiday Act was created so we would always have these three-day weekends for federal employees. Did you ever know that? That's why, except for maybe the 4th of July, Christmas, Thanksgiving, that's why all these other federal holidays are always on a Monday, so that federal government employees can have the Monday off and they can have a three-day weekend. Well, I don't care. As long as we do focus on Memorial Day itself, that last Monday of the month, for what its real purpose is. And that is to observe and to honor everyone who died in all of these wars. The change went into effect, these three-day weekends, went into effect in 1971. And the same law, that Uniform Monday Holiday Act, declared Memorial Day a federal holiday. So we have a lot of Memorial Day traditions and rituals. What are some of these Memorial Day traditions and rituals? Well, let's talk about it. You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael to 33103. I'd be curious what you do on Memorial Day. Let me know in a text message. Text the word Michael to 33103. Hang tight. Let's talk about some of these traditions and rituals coming up next. I'll be right back.
When it comes to your health, waiting is not an option. You must be in control because when disaster strikes, it's too late to start preparing. Whether it's a natural disaster, a medication shortage, or a broken supply chain, the truth is you cannot afford to rely on a system that might fail you when you need it most. You should never be at the mercy of empty pharmacy shelves or overwhelmed healthcare systems. Your health is too important for that. but there is a solution. The Jace case gives you emergency antibiotics so you can have them before you need them. No more crossing your fingers during a crisis. With Jace, you're ready. It's fast, it's affordable, and it could be life-saving. Just head to Jace.com, answer a few questions, and a licensed doctor reviews your info in minutes. If approved, your meds ship directly to your door. Act now, before the emergency hits. Use code RADIO. That's R-A-D-I-O at Jace.com. That's J-A-S-E.com to get a discount on your Jace case. Be ready, be protected, be in control.
Goldleaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. It's the 50th anniversary sale now, all through springtime. With all shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger, 30% off. We have a good selection of spring shade bloomers, such as azaleas and camellias, and many other sun-blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is a perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. All shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger are 30% off. If you have not been to Goldleaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Goldleaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Hey, Redding, say big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. A great meal at a great price. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Be sure to stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner just added 4 brand new and 4 returning classics to the menu. Black Bear Diner, 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Have you ever wanted to unlock your musical potential? Cascade Curations not only has great music, art, and fashion, we also offer fun and exciting music lessons for all ages and skill levels. Whether you dream of playing the piano, guitar, drums, or vocals, our instructors will guide you every step of the way. With flexible scheduling and personalized instruction, you'll be playing your own tunes in no time. Don't just listen to music, create it. Call or text us at 530-255-4855 to book your first lesson. Cascade Curations, where we believe anyone can learn to play their own song.
Hey, it's your liberty-loving Latino amigo, Rich Valdez, host of America at Night. Weeknights, we're letting you know what's happening live all across America. We'll have newsmakers and experts coming on, talking about the hot topics of the day. Plus, in our third hour, whatever you want to talk about with open phones across America, our nightly town hall. I look forward to hearing from you on the next America at Night with me, Rich Valdez.
Weeknights from 7 to 10 p.m. on KCNR.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771 or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons, premium offerings, unbeatable value just for you.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host, Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
welcome back to Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we're spending this weekend's program talking about Memorial Day. And to give you a little kind of roadmap of where we're going, talk a little bit about the history of Memorial Day and how it became Memorial Day. And then I want to tell you some stories, including some personal stories about Memorial Day. But there are all sorts of traditions and rituals surrounding Memorial Day. Different cities and towns may be true in your community. They host Memorial Day parades every year. And those parades often incorporate military personnel, members of veterans organizations. Some of the largest parades take place in Chicago, New York, D.C. But also a lot of Americans observe Memorial Day by simply visiting cemeteries and memorials. Some people wear a red poppy in remembrance of those fallen in war. That's a tradition that began with a World War I poem. I can remember growing up as a child. My grandparents had a dry cleaning business. My paternal grandparents had a dry cleaning business. And they always had at the counter, they would sell these paper poppies. And I never really understood as a child what those poppies were, but I just knew that you could take out a poppy, and I forget whether it was a quarter or a nickel, but there was a slot where you would take the poppy out, and then you could put your quarter in. And I can remember my grandparents running the dry cleaning place, and I would be standing there, probably causing trouble. And I would watch their customers come in, pick up their dry cleaning, pick up their laundry. And during the month of May, they would have that little placard out that the local veterans organization would put out, and people would buy the poppies. I never really understood it. I never really understood it until I started all these years. I mean, we're talking about decades ago. And I started looking into, why did we do this? Well, here's why. From 1914 to 1918, World War I took a greater human toll than any previous war in American history. Some 8.5 million soldiers dead of battlefield injuries and disease. We often forget about disease. It wasn't just injuries, but disease also. The Great War, that's how my grandfather referred to it, and that's how it's kind of generally known. It actually just ravaged the landscape of Western Europe, where most of the fiercest fighting took place. From the devastated landscape of the battlefields, the red poppy would grow, and thanks to a famous poem, became a powerful symbol of remembrance. All across northern France and Flanders, northern Belgium, the brutal clashes between the Allied and the Central Power soldiers just tore up the fields, tore down the forests, tearing up trees and plants and wreaking havoc on the soil. But in the warm early spring of 1915, literally bright red flowers started peeking through the battle-scarred land. I may be mispronouncing this, but the scientific term, Papaver Reyes, known variously as the Flanders poppy, or corn poppy, red poppy, corn rose. Chris McNabb is the author of the book, The Book of the Poppy, wrote in an excerpt published in The Independent that the brilliantly colored flower is actually classified as a weed, which makes, kind of sense given its tenacious nature. But Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, a Canadian who served as a brigade surgeon for an Allied army unit, he spotted a cluster of poppies that spring, shortly after the Second Battle of Ypres, as I think is how it's pronounced. McCrae tended to the wounded, and in doing so, he got a first-hand look at the carnage of that battle, in which the Germans unleashed lethal chlorine gas for the first time in war. So we often think that chemical warfare is something that, we haven't seen maybe since napalm in the Vietnam War. No, go back to the First World War. The Germans unleashed lethal chlorine gas on soldiers. Some 87,000, think about that, some 87,000 Allied soldiers were killed, wounded, or went missing in that battle. Well, also 37,000 on the German side. So a friend of McRae's, Lieutenant Alexis Helmer, was among the dead. So McRae, struck by the sight of the red blooms on the broken ground, he wrote a poem. You've probably heard you've heard the poem before. I've heard the name of the poem. In Flanders Field. In that poem, he channeled the voice of the fallen soldiers that were buried under those hardy weeds, poppies. It was published for the first time in 1915 in a magazine called Punch. The poem would then be used at countless memorial ceremonies and became one of the most famous works of art to emerge from the Great War. The fame of the poem spread far and wide by the time that McRae himself had died. He died from pneumonia and meningitis in January of 1918. So go back across the Atlantic. A woman named Moyna Michael read the poem in Flanders Field in the pages of Ladies' Home Journal that November, just 2 days before the armistice. Then a professor at the University of Georgia at the time that the war broke out, Michael had taken a leave of absence to volunteer at the New York headquarters of the Young Women's Christian Association, the YWCA. The YWCA at the time trained and sponsored workers overseas. Inspired by those verses, Michael wrote her own poem in response, which she called, "We Shall Keep the Faith." As a sign of that faith, and a remembrance of the sacrifice of Flanders Field, Michael vowed to always wear a red poppy. So she found an initial batch of fabric blooms for herself and her colleagues at a department store. After the war ended, she returned to the university town of Athens, and she came up with the idea of making and selling these red silk poppies to raise money to support the returning veterans. Her campaign, this one single woman's campaign, to create a national symbol for remembrance, a poppy in the colors of the Allied nations' flags, entwined around a victory torch. Yeah, it didn't get very far. By mid-1920, she managed to get Georgia's branch of the American Legion, a veterans group, to adopt the poppy, minus the torch, as its symbol. That was the tipping point. Because soon after that, the National American Legion, they voted to use the poppy as the official U.S. national emblem of remembrance when those American Legion members convened in Cleveland in September of 1920. Now, on the opposite side of the Atlantic, it's fascinating to me how these things work together. On the opposite side of the Atlantic, a French woman named Anna Guerra, she had championed the symbolic power of the red poppy from the very beginning. So she gets invited to the American Legion Convention to speak about her idea for an inter-allied poppy day. Madame Guerin helped convince the Legion members to adopt the poppy as their symbol and to join her celebrating National Poppy Day in the United States. Guess when? The following May. Now back in France, Guerin organized French women, children, veterans, to make and sell these artificial poppies as a way to fund the restoration of war-torn France. In a website run by Heather Johnson, which is devoted to Madame Guerin's work, the French woman may have been the single most significant figure in spreading the symbol of the remembrance poppy through the British Commonwealth countries and other allied nations. One single woman. You know, every time I think about this story, took one woman. Now, granted, there was something going on in the United States, too. But over in France, Madame Guerin, she single-handedly is responsible for those poppies that I ended up seeing on the counter of my grandparents' dry cleaning store. Within 1 year, she had taken her campaign to England. And in November of 1921, the newly founded Royal British Legion held its first ever poppy appeal. And the purpose of the poppy appeal was to try to sell millions of these silk flowers, which they did, and they raised over £106,000, which at the time was a pretty large amount. And all of that money was to go towards finding employment and housing for for the World War I veterans in the United Kingdom. Now, go forward a year. Major George Howson set up the Poppy Factory in Richmond, England, in which disabled servicemen were employed to make the fabric and paper bloom. Then, it takes off. Other nations started doing the same thing. They started adopting the poppy as their official symbol of remembrance. Now, today, century after World War I, more than a century, millions of people in the United Kingdom, Canada, France, Belgium, Australia, New Zealand, they don those red flowers every November 11th, which was known as Remembrance Day or Armistice Day, to commemorate the anniversary of the 1918 armistice. According to the website, the Poppy Factory, which is still located in Richmond, England, and in Edinburgh, Scotland, is still the center of poppy production. You know how many poppies they turn out every year? 45 million poppies, made of different kinds of materials, every single year. So that's on the other side of the Atlantic. But what about on this side of the Atlantic, here in the United States? How did those poppies actually get onto my grandparents' dry cleaning store on the counter? Well, our tradition developed a little differently. We don't typically wear poppies on November 11th, which we call Veterans Day. Veterans Day, again, different from Memorial Day, Veterans Day honors all living veterans. And this is a difference that most Americans, I shouldn't say most Americans, many Americans fail to recognize. Veterans Day, November 11th, is to honor all veterans, anyone who has ever served in the United States military in any form, any fashion, any position. We honor them on November 11th. Instead, in this country, we wear that symbolic little red flower, the poppy, on Memorial Day, the last Monday in May. And we do that to commemorate the sacrifice of all the men and women who have given their lives fighting for the country. But what about the poem? Does the poem really mean anything? I'm not very good at poems, but I want you to hear it. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks, still bravely singing, fly. Scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from falling hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. It's an amazing little poem, only three paragraphs. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow. We were loved, we loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. To you, from failing hands we throw the torch, be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. It's an amazing little poem. But it personifies, it kind of exemplifies the horror of those battlefields on the Western Front. It was in a war of attrition. It was a war that was fought literally just row upon row. You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. It's Memorial Day weekend. And we're thinking about Memorial Day weekend, the history, the traditions, and what it means to different people. I have stories to tell. Text the word Mike to 33103. Be sure to go to the website, michaelsaysgohere.com. Memorial Day weekend. I'll be right back.
You know the feeling when you're about to cut into a juicy steak and hope it tastes as perfect as it looks? Worry no more. With Chef IQ Sense, it's possible to get it right every time. How? It's a modern, completely wireless cooking thermometer that eliminates under- or overcooking your food, no matter how you cook it. Chef IQ Sense was designed to withstand extreme heat and can even survive in your deep fryer. From grilling to roasting or baking, Chef IQ Sense guarantees that your chicken, meat, or fish will come out exactly to your preferred outcome. Using Chef IQ Sense is so simple. Insert the wireless probe into your food, choose your desired doneness on the Chef IQ app, and it'll alert you when it's ready. Stay connected and monitor your food from anywhere over Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So stop the confusion, eliminate the risk, and serve every meal with confidence. Chef IQ Sense works out of the box and with your favorite appliances. You can find the IQ Sense at chefiq.com and save 15% at checkout with code USA. That's chefiq.com.
Need help with your health insurance? We've got you covered. At Shasta Community Health Center, we offer this free service to our community. Our enrollment counselors can assist you with new applications, renewals, troubleshooting, and answering your questions about covered California plans or Medi-Cal, also known as Medicaid or Partnership Health Plan. We're here to help you make the best choice for you and your family. Call our outreach and enrollment team at 530-229-5117 to get help today. Shasta Community Health Center, because SCHC cares.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio show.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, a proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45s.
Dignity Health and Reading West Rotary present the 18th Annual Taste of Reading 2025, Sunday, June 8th from noon until 4 at the Reading City Hall Sculpture Park. Chefs are preparing their finest foods for you to sample with great wines and microbrews, plus live entertainment on three stages. Get your tickets for food and drink sampling in advance at tasteofreading.org.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue, open and free, every other Sunday, right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
A cancer diagnosis is overwhelming, but at Valor Oncology, you're never alone. I'm Dr. Lauren Strickland, and I'm proud to be a part of this community right here in Reading. As a breast oncology surgeon, I bring the expertise you need combined with deep commitment to the people I care about, my neighbors, my friends, and my community. You won't see a revolving door of different doctors. At Valor Oncology, you'll see the same trusted care team at every visit, people who truly know your history and who will walk with you on your journey. We have cutting-edge technology that rivals top universities, and we're here to provide world-class treatment right here at home. Because at Valor Oncology, you're not just a patient, you're part of our family. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted in Reading, focused on you. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org today to learn more.
forward to today, we now celebrate Memorial Day, or we recognize, commemorate Memorial Day, as a way to honor those who died in all of our wars. And so in honor Memorial Day, I want to tell a few stories, some personal, some that I found online, but all stories of people that, in one way or another, kind of personify everything great about people who serve in the military and make the ultimate sacrifice. They give their lives. The first story I want to tell you about is a Medal of Honor winner. The Medal of Honor, the nation's highest award for bravery, for people that make the ultimate sacrifice. This is about Lieutenant Junior Grade Whedon Edward Osborne, born in Chicago, November 13, 1892. He grew up in an orphanage. He graduated dental school in 1915. Enlisted in the Navy as a dental surgeon in 1917, just shortly after the U.S. entered World War I. So when he joined the Army, Osborne was attached to the 6th Marine Regiment at the Battle of Belleau Wood, which is legendary in the annals of the Marine Corps. On June 16, 1918, the Marines were tasked to clear the wood, located outside the town of Chateau Thierry, some 50 miles northeast of Paris. Cleared of German troops, as the fighting began, Osborne, whose dental equipment had yet to arrive at the front, he volunteered to help rescue wounded Marines. He was carrying an injured officer to safety when they were both killed by an artillery shell. Osborne, 25 years old. That always breaks my heart. It's always the young people. The Navy destroyer USS Osborne, commissioned in 1920, and the USS Osborne Dental Clinic in North Chicago were named in his honor. Osborne is one of three dental officers to receive the Medal of Honor. Rear Admiral Daniel J. Callahan, born to a merchant family in San Francisco, July 26, 1890. He joined the Navy after graduating from Naval Academy in 1911. His naval career spanned 30 years and two world wars. He climbed through the ranks on various ships, eventually earning the nickname Uncle Dan from his sailors. He served as President Roosevelt's naval aide from 1938 to 1941 when he assumed the command of the USS San Francisco. In the Solomon Islands on the night of November 12, 1942, he led his forces against an attack by the numerically superior Japanese fleet. His ingenious tactical skill and superb coordination helped the smaller U.S. force repulse the Japanese offensive. He was killed by a blast on the bridge of the San Francisco. He was awarded the Medal of Honor. Two Navy ships have borne his name, the USS Callahan. It's an amazing story. You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown. It's Memorial Day weekend. Story about Memorial Day. Coming up next. Don't go away.
Trust & Will knows that we'll all eventually need a will. How about right now? Trust & Will makes creating your will easy, like while you're lounging on the couch easy. Trust & Will is designed by attorneys but customized by you, and all documents are state-specific and secure. Find your plan at TrustAndWill.com and use offer code RADIO now for 20% off. That's TrustAndWill.com, offer code RADIO. Trust & Will is an online estate planning service. Visit TrustAndWill.com for details.
Your life and your loved ones' lives depends on what you've done to prepare. Disasters, shortages, supply chain failures, they're not ifs, they're whens. Don't be left without life-saving medication. The Jace case is a prescribed set of emergency antibiotics, life-saving medications you have on hand before you need them, offering peace of mind, no panicking, fast, affordable, and could save your life. Go to JASE.com. Use code RADIO for a discount, because once the shelves are empty, it's already too late. It's already too late.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. House Republican leaders spoke to the press this week following the passage of their big, beautiful tax bill. Speaker Mike Johnson.
The media and the Democrats have consistently dismissed any possibility that House Republicans could get this done. They did not believe that we could succeed in our mission to enact President Trump's America First agenda.
Speaker Johnson said many House Democrats oppose the bill, wanting to allow further wasteful government spending. That bill now making its way through the Senate. Former Assistant U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, Andrew C. McCarthy, says a lack of physical and legal resources is complicating the deportation of illegals.
We have good laws. What we don't have is Congress backing those laws with the resources that are necessary to enforce them.
McCarthy told the Salem Radio Network, with the necessary detention space and the judges to hold hearings, a typical due process deportation should take just about 3 to 4 weeks. President Trump is threatening a 50% tax on all imports from the European Union, as well as a 25% tariff on smartphones unless the products are made in America. He says there's no need for further negotiation.
I'm not looking for a deal. I mean, we've set the deal. It's at 50%. But again, there is no tariff if they build their plant here. Now, if somebody comes in and wants to build a plant here, I can talk to them about a little bit of a delay. But, while they're building their plant, which is something I think that would be appropriate, maybe.
And the president says U.S. Steel will keep its headquarters in Pittsburgh. It's part of what he called a partnership between the American steel maker and Japan-based Nippon Steel. That company had sought to buy out U.S. Steel. Investors took the news as a positive sign, and on Wall Street that sharply pushed the value of U.S. Steel shares higher. More from townhall.com.
Following is a paid advertisement by Family Vacation Getaways with the purpose of soliciting sales of vacation ownership. For complete details, please visit fvgradio.com. If you want a 100% complimentary stay at a luxury resort in Cancun, airfare not included, then Family Vacation Getaways is your ticket to paradise. See website for complete details. We're giving away 5 days and 4 nights to the first 50 callers who can name an animal that lays eggs and is not a bird. An animal that lays eggs and is not a bird. Do you know it? Call now, 800-208-0414. 800-208-0414. You're also eligible for an exciting bonus vacation to Orlando, Florida for just $498. And don't worry about anything ruining your plans. We can extend your travel up to 18 months. Name an animal that lays eggs and is not a bird, and you get a complimentary Cancun resort stay and an optional bonus vacation to Orlando for just $498. What are you waiting for? Call 800-208-0414, 800-208-0414, and give us your answer. The proceeding is not a contest and is a paid advertisement by Family Vacation Getaways and not sponsored by this program or its affiliates.
Correspondent Jennifer King reports another batch of baby food is being recalled.
The Publix supermarket chain is recalling some baby food products due to elevated levels of lead. The recall affects Greenwise pear, kiwi, spinach, and pea baby food sold in 4-ounce plastic pouches produced by Bowman Andros, a French company with a plant in Mount Jackson, Virginia. The contamination was flagged after testing by North Carolina officials. The pouches were sold in more than 1,400 stores in 8 states. It's the second baby food pouch recall over lead in 2 months. Target recently recalled packages of an in-store brand vegetable puree. I'm Jennifer King.
Walmart has plans to cut some workers, 1,500 jobs on the line as part of a restructuring push to simplify its operations. Walmart says the plan will impact teams in its global technology operations, e-commerce fulfillment, and its advertising business, Walmart Connect. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Vice President J.D. Vance spoke to naval graduates this week.
Speaking in Annapolis, the Vice President told Military Academy graduates that President Trump is working to ensure that U.S. armed forces are only sent into harm's way with clear goals rather than the open-ended conflicts of the past. Vance told graduates at the United States Naval Academy that the President's approach means that if they are sent to war, it will be with a very specific set of goals in mind. Vance was making his first remarks as vice president to one of the nation's military service academies. John Scott reporting.
American Majority CEO Ned Ryan says he's troubled by charges that Harvard University has been coordinating with China.
The Trump administration is on to something, obviously, with the student visas,
But also, I think they're starting to ask pretty hard questions. Where are you getting some of this funding?
Ryan was interviewed this week by the Salem Radio Network. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown. Glad to have you with me. It is Memorial Day weekend. And so we're doing something a little different this weekend than we would normally do. We're focusing solely on Memorial Day, its meaning, and what you and I can do to make this holiday a memorable Memorial Day. As I said last hour, it's always difficult for me to say, hey, have a great Memorial Day weekend or have a happy Memorial Day weekend. Because in our society, Memorial Day has become the traditional start of summer. It has become that weekend where we think that it's the start of the vacation season. And in fact, I may do this later in the program. It becomes the weekend where there's certain sales. Oh my gosh, there's always a President's Day sale. There's always a Memorial Day sale. And I always find that kind of little, well, are we really going to do that on a solemn holiday like this? So we're doing a kind of a, I would say kind of a walk through the history of Memorial Day about what it really means. And some of the highlights and some of the turning points in the history of this country that make Memorial Day a somber day of remembrance. I don't know, in my research, I had never come across this story before. And so for me, this was as exciting as I hope that it is to you. I hope it's as moving to you as it was to me. I never heard of this general. But the general's name is Lucian Truscott, T-R-U-S-C-O-T-T, Lucian Truscott. He was the commander of the U.S. Fifth Army. He gave one of the most moving Memorial Day speeches ever given, but it's remembered not so much for how he or what he said, but it's remembered for how he stood. Huh? What do you mean, Michael? How he stood. He spoke at the Sicily Rome American Cemetery in Nettuno, Italy, on Memorial Day in 1945. So think about that date, 1945. So World War II, we're done. He's in Italy at the Sicily Rome American Cemetery. He stands to give his prepared remarks, and he turned his back to the audience. And instead, he spoke directly to the nearly 20,000 American soldiers that are buried at the Sicily Rome American Cemetery. And he apologized to them for their death. Now imagine that. Now imagine you're in Italy. You're in one of the absolute center points of World War II. Mussolini, all of the fascism and everything that Europe has faced. And so you go to the cemetery for this Memorial Day observance, and this general stands up. I can just picture him now. He stands, and he walks to the podium. He looks across at the audience, and then he turns around, turns his back to the audience, and apologizes to those buried there for their deaths. At the time, there was a cartoonist, Bill Malden, who was a cartoonist for the newspaper Stars and Stripes. It's now a website. You can go find it, Stars and Stripes. He had a reputation for ruthlessly skewering hypocrisy, particularly among the generals. But Bill Malden called that moment, quote, the most moving gesture that I had ever seen. So here we are all these decades later. And here I am talking about Memorial Day and wanting to give you different examples. Well, I've been given this task of doing 3 hours of talking about Memorial Day and what it means. And I came across a story written by a gentleman by the name of Doyle Hodges. And Doyle Hodges, in telling the story about the general and him turning his back, says that, you know, 54 years later, at the time he had written this, I had the daunting task of writing a Memorial Day speech for my boss to deliver at that very same cemetery. Now, that's pressure. If you know the history of that cemetery, and you know what General Truscott did that day, and now you have to give a speech too, the pressure's got to be enormous. This gentleman says, my boss at the time was the admiral who commanded the U.S. Joint Task Force that had been supporting the Kosovo bombing campaign. He says, have I attempted to suggest that he try to copy General Truscott's address to the fallen? A false gesture the admiral would have objected, probably rejected out of hand anyway. The disparity in casualties would have quickly pointed out the inadvisability of that approach. Rather than thousands of dead to whom Truscott spoke, the 78-day bombing campaign in Kosovo cost the lives of two. Not almost 20,000, but two U.S. service members. You remember that? He was the crew of an Apache helicopter who were actually killed in an accident during a training flight. So this guy has to give that speech on that day. And you have to think about, you can't help but think about, when you think about all the cemeteries, I think about Fort Logan, just north of where I am in my studios in Denver. I think about Arlington National Cemetery. I think about all of those. And what would I say were I to be required to give a speech on Memorial Day in front of those? One of the first things that I thought about came from a personal experience at Arlington National Cemetery. One of my jobs as the Undersecretary of Homeland Security had been to negotiate a new cooperative agreement between the United States and at then just the Federal Emergency Management Agency. The Department of Homeland Security was still in its infancy, hadn't really been stood up yet, but negotiate a new cooperative agreement between the United States and our Russian counterparts. So I had spent a lot of time in Moscow and St. Petersburg, spent a lot of time in Russia going to different military installations, going to Kaliningrad, where a lot of the nuclear weaponry of the old Soviet Union still stockpiled. And so I'd gotten to know these people that were in charge of EMERCOM, which is the equivalent of our Department of Homeland Security, our equivalent of FEMA. And ironically, the head of EMERCOM at the time is a gentleman by the name of Sergei Shoigu. Shoigu is currently Vladimir Putin's Russian defense minister. Yeah, the guy that's in charge of the war in Ukraine. So I'd gotten to know this guy pretty well, and one of his deputies. And one of his deputies was an old general in the KGB. So in one of the trips back to this country, Shoigu didn't come, but he sent this general. And for the life of me, I can't remember this general's name. But we were going to have dinner one day. And so we're loading up in with the security folks and getting in the cars and headed to the restaurant. And as we're driving through Washington, he can see Lee House at Arlington National Cemetery. And he asks, can we go there? And so I tell the driver, yes, let's go to Arlington. So we drive, we turn across, we go across the Memorial Bridge, and we drive up to Arlington National Cemetery. And it's kind of misty, it's kind of cool and rainy out. And so there are no crowds whatsoever. So my security detail tells the guards that are at Arlington who we are, what we're doing, and that we want to go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So we go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And we are, of course, the color guard is there, and they're doing their thing, which if you've never seen it, you must go see this. But here I am standing with this former general of the KGB. As we look at those tombs, you can see the eternal flame where John Kennedy is buried. You can see out over, the cloud cover was just high enough that you could see the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial. You could see all across the National Mall. And this general turns to me, and he goes, isn't it amazing that you and I can stand here as friends, as colleagues, and honor those who fought these battles, sometimes together, sometimes opposite of each other. But nonetheless, our humanity, in his words, our humanity brings us together to honor these who have died serving our countries. And I thought, wow, that's really amazing. So we stood, our timing was good, we got to watch the changing of the guard, stood silently. There may have been a dozen tourists. So it was just me and this general standing up close. And when they finished, and he saluted, and we turned to walk away, he said to me, the next time you're in Moscow, I want to take you to our Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And so I did. On my next trip to Moscow, I met up with him, met up with Minister Shoigu, and we went to their tomb. And I laid a wreath there, and I tried to reciprocate the same word. That isn't it amazing that we can, that our two countries can come together. We're negotiating an agreement on how to handle disasters in other countries around the world that we might partner up on, and that we can set aside our differences to honor those who died in service of our respective countries. And I laid the wreath there, said a short prayer to myself, a silent prayer, and then we went off to dinner. That I'll never forget that moment. And when I read this story about General Truscott and him turning his back at that national cemetery, those stories instantly flashed back in my mind, and I thought, wow, this really is a solemn day. And this is a solemn day for us to, technically will be Monday. But it is a solemn weekend. And it's time for us to recognize that, yes, we take this day to honor those who died on behalf of our nation. But all other nations have men and women who died for their beliefs, for their creeds, died with honor for their country, even if at that time they were mortal enemies of ours. We should honor, first and foremost, those who died on our behalf to preserve freedom in this country. But we should at least take a moment to recognize that there are those who died for other countries, believing what they believe. And they gave the ultimate sacrifice, most of which Americans will never be asked to do. That's why Memorial Day, to me, is so solemn. I think a lot of Americans on Memorial Day really do try to commemorate or remember something that they've never personally known. Unfortunately, I have. I had a cousin who died very early on in the war in Iraq. Young cousin, 24 years old, wanted to serve his country, wasn't in Iraq more than 3 or 4 weeks when he's killed. The historian Drew Gilpin Faust, in his book, This Republic of Suffering, he talks about how the experience of Americans who lost loved ones in the Civil War really did shape American attitudes and practices surrounding death, dying, and the responsibility of us as the living to the memory of those who died. In the Civil War, one American in 50, one in 50 died during that war. So the personal experience of loss was shared by nearly everybody. Now, since 9/11, over 7,000 U.S. service personnel and Department of Defense civilians have died in conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and in Syria. And using the most recent census numbers, that works out to slightly less than one American, not in 50, but one American in 50,000. So I think that on this day, when we think about Memorial Day, it's kind of easy to feel overwhelmed in the face of the grief that's been experienced by those like the mother of my cousin who died in Iraq. I don't know how to comfort her other than to say that I honor what he did. I honor his sacrifice, and I honor his willingness to go to battle for our country. Because most Americans aren't. We have an all-volunteer army. People volunteer to join. So I think it is easy for us to feel overwhelmed in the face of the grief that's truly experienced, like my cousin's mom, or the relative that you know, their brothers or sisters or their mothers or aunts, uncles, dads, whatever it might be. And I think it's especially true when we exalt military service in this country. You know, we have this, I had a producer on my radio program in Denver for a long time, a young woman who served in the Army, now serves in the Reserves. And I asked her one time about this thank you for your service that we all want to do. And I'll tell you what she said after this break. You can text the word Michael to 33103. Go to the website, michaelsaysgohere.com. My producer's words about thank you for your service, coming up next.
What if you could unlock over $1 million in personal and business credit? That's exactly what Ray Reynolds can do for you. I'm talking about protecting your family and building your business with $100,000 in personal or business cash credit. And Ray can help you rebuild your credit score to 750. Ray Reynolds isn't just any expert. He helped the security chief of TRW that became Experian, one of the most trusted credit bureaus. If you're looking to get your finances on track, Ray is the man you should call for a 750 credit score. Call Ray at 800-427-5991. 800-427-5991. Join his live webinars and attend his weekly workshops to learn the insider strategies for hitting your personal and business goals. Ready for a 750 credit score and your first $100,000 in credit? Call Ray Reynolds now at 800-427-5991. That's 800-427-5991.
Hi, this is Linda Fox. Scott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Spring has sprung, and whether it's pollen, dust, dirt, or road grime, Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has you covered. They offer car wash packages starting at $11, which includes a hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle automated pull-through wash, and a personal towel dry exit. Save money, save water at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction market. North Valley Distributing focuses on quality and reliability. Their products include fuses, batteries, wiring devices, connectors, lighting solutions, circuit protection components, and electrical tools and more. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. A proud sponsor of the Reading Colt 45.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
What's your take? Because I think Americans sometimes, we venerate the military so well that we're at a loss for words. So we often walk up to someone we see in a uniform and we say, thank you for your service. And I said, so what do you think about that? And a response really stuck with me. It was, we actually do get kind of tired of hearing it because this is what we signed up to do and this is what we want to do and we know that we're doing it for you. So how about just a simple thank you? Because particularly if you're in uniform, you walk up on Veterans Day, not Memorial Day, because they're still alive. But nonetheless, you walk up to anyone who's actually wearing the uniform and just simply say, thank you. You don't even have to do anything else, just a thank you. It's those little tiny gestures. Unlike what happened to Vietnam War veterans at return, they were spat upon, kicked around, vilified. Now, I know that may not be appropriate on Memorial Day, but again, because Memorial Day is when we honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. But nonetheless, that stuck with me because they do volunteer and they do things that you and I don't want to do. So we should just say thank you sincerely. Veterans of modern American wars, they don't face the type of rejection that they experienced in Vietnam. Let's talk about that next. It's The Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael to 33103. Go to the website michaelsaysyouhear.com. Let's talk about veterans of modern-day American war, even on this one.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
You know the feeling when you're about to cut into a juicy steak and hope it tastes as perfect as it looks? Worry no more. With Chef IQ Sense, it's possible to get it right every time. How? It's a modern, completely wireless cooking thermometer that eliminates under- or overcooking your food, no matter how you cook it. Chef IQ Sense was designed to withstand extreme heat and can even survive in your deep fryer. From grilling to roasting or baking, Chef IQ Sense guarantees that your chicken, meat, or fish will come out exactly to your preferred outcome. Using Chef IQ Sense is so simple. Insert the wireless probe into your food, choose your desired doneness on the Chef IQ app, and it'll alert you when it's ready. Stay connected and monitor your food from anywhere over Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. So stop the confusion, eliminate the risk, and serve every meal with confidence. Chef IQ Sense works out of the box and with your favorite appliances. You can find the IQ Sense at chefiq.com and save 15% at checkout with code USA. That's chefiq.com.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Gold Leaf Nursery is celebrating 50 years in business. Yep, 50 years. Seems like yesterday our nursery and landscape business was just a little seedling itself. But the truth is, we've been serving Shasta County for 50 years, growing shrubs, trees, and veggie plants since 1975. It's the 50th anniversary sale now, all through springtime. With all shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger, 30% off. We have a good selection of spring shade bloomers such as azaleas and camellias and many other sun-blooming plants to enhance your landscape in those sunny locations in the yard. This is a perfect time of the year to start preparing your vegetable garden. We have organic soils and fertilizers, including a full line of John and Bob's Organics, and we carry non-GMO seeds. So rest assured, you can have a healthy planting crop in your vegetable garden. All shrubs and trees and ground covers 1 gallon or larger are 30% off. If you have not been to Gold Leaf Nursery, we invite you to check us out and see for yourself why we have so many customers tell us what a unique nursery we have. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6186 Churn Creek Road, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course and 1/4 mile from Airport Road.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us.
This show's for educated voters, not for people that voted for Kamala Harris.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
But stealing the money was only the beginning. This is the story about a robbery that captivated national media.
It was slowly the front page of every place in the world.
Divided Congress.
What we want to know is, why did the president make this decision?
and mobilized a radical organization.
I was ready to engage in gunfire if it had to be to protect my comrade from getting caught.
Listen and subscribe to White Eagle on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Tonight, Michael Brown joins me here.
The former FEMA director.
Talk show host Michael Brown.
Brownie!
Now.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Weekend with Michael Brown on this Memorial Day weekend. It is an unusual weekend because it's the start of the so-called vacation season, and there's all sorts of Memorial Day sales. It's the start of the summer. It's also a very somber holiday. You know, as I said earlier, the veterans of the modern American wars in the Middle East, they really don't face the type of rejection or societal blame that a lot of Vietnam veterans experience. Instead, the praise that is now heaped on soldiers and veterans can at times, I think, seem overwhelming. That's why when I asked my producer about thank you for your service, her response really was just to say thank you. That's really good enough. You may disagree or agree. I'd be curious what you think. But here's the problem. It's easy to group Memorial Day in with all the other public rituals of appreciation for those who served our country in uniform. Memorial Day is really supposed to be different. In 1865, in a speech to Yale alumni, the theologian Horace Bushnell, a speech called Our Obligations to the Dead, even though it was actually delivered on before the creation of Decoration Day, which became Memorial Day in 1868, Bushnell's oration perfectly presages the themes of a lot of subsequent Memorial Day speeches, which in the next hour you're going to hear from Ronald Reagan. The grand public motive he talked about, the grand public motive to which the dead gave up their life. What is that grand public motive to which the dead gave up their life? So when Bushnell was giving this speech, he first argued that the dead ought to be given their, quote, due share of the victory and the honors of victory. Because you see, for the theologian, victory for him was not understood solely as a battlefield triumph, but victory for him was more the attainment of the moral good for which the war had been fought. Now think about that. Victory for him was not understood solely as a battlefield triumph, but more so the attainment of the moral good for which that war in which that person had died was fought. Now if you measure it against that standard, then the effort to valorize or to give meaning to the sacrifices of both the Vietnam and modern American wars is probably more challenging than just giving away a medal and describing battlefield heroics. Now, some American soldiers displayed great heroism, and U.S. forces were rarely, if ever, defeated in individual battles. The strategic success, though, and the moral meaning of those wars is, and I think, uncomfortably, but rightfully so, contested. And I think that again, while those soldiers that fought in all of those wars really did display great heroism, a lot of Americans feel ambiguous about those modern wars. Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Syria, wherever we're engaged in battle. I think Americans really do feel ambiguous. Sometimes we ask, what are we fighting for? So how do you find personal meaning on Memorial Day? As I told you in the beginning of this segment, the beginning of this hour, that I find it in that moment with that Russian general, a former KGB agent, standing at our Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I've been to Arlington National Cemetery. I don't, I, I also don't have any times. Any time that I was the undersecretary and I had family or friends come to visit, that was among the stops that we always made. Because there is something about that place where those soldiers are entombed. In all those wars, every single one of them, and you stand and you watch that color guard in such strict, coordinated, controlled fashion guard those tombs through wind and hail and rain, storms, sleet, everything. I think about what they do. They do it day in and day out. And there I am standing with that former KGB agent and a general. And we are both, in commonality, honoring those. And then I started thinking about, obviously, my father, for example. My father served in the Korean War. I don't remember much at all. Now, he did not die. He died of natural causes later in life. But during my lifetime, during his lifetime, he never really spoke about anything that he did during that war. And to this day, he's been dead many, many years now. I have really no idea what he did. All I have are Kodak 35 millimeter slides that he took while he was stationed in Korea. And I oftentimes, you can find some of those on my Instagram account, at Michael D. Brown. But oftentimes I will look at those, and I'll look at my dad, and I'll look at his friends and his fellow soldiers, and I'll wonder to myself, if I only knew what they did, if I only knew what they were up to, what did they see? What changed their lives by doing that service? So finding personal meaning on Memorial Day, here would be my challenge to you. How about finding a family member that has served somewhere? Now, they may not want to do it, but the worst thing that can happen is they can tell you no, right? But find them and ask them, I'd like to know about your service. I'd like to know, are there any stories? I'd like to hear some stories. Would you tell me some stories? Because it's only through those individual stories that we can collectively maintain the memory of all of those, because even those who did not die in the battlefield, they're human beings, and they will eventually die like all of us will. And those stories will be lost. So maybe you can find a way to get an oral history of their service. Maybe you can find a way to get them to tell you stories and write down stories. Maybe they've got a diary they've never divulged to anyone. Maybe they don't want to divulge it to you today. But maybe they would agree that upon their death, those stories of those wartime things that they dealt with can be revealed, can be told to other family members. It's a difficult thing, but I think it's a necessary thing. I think it's necessary because for most Americans, I think the connection to Memorial Day, remember, one in 50 Americans during the Civil War perished. Or I shouldn't say perished. They knew it affected one in 50 families, one in 50 people. Today, it's one in 50,000. So we become even more remote from those, except in those individual cases where that family unit, a father, a mother, a brother, a son, aunt, uncle, whatever it might have been. But in that family unit, in that immediate family, someone has died. But beyond that, you'd have to find 49,999 other families to find another family that's experienced what that family has experienced. So it is difficult. The fact that America's modern wars have largely been wars of choice doesn't mean that the choice to fight them was bad or good. Wars of necessity always have, well, I shouldn't say always, but tend to have very clearly defined goals and a very stark moral purpose. They're often about national survival. a war of choice, on the other hand, are fought to achieve a limited policy goal, which has a political value that, to some degree, limits the degree of effort and sacrifice appropriate to its achievement. Which is why it's, I think, more important than ever, considering the last four or five wars that we have fought, that we really do memorialize those who gave their lives. In World War II, we actually completely reordered our economy, reordered our society. Everything was about supporting the war effort. There's a book called Taxing Wars. She writes that modern wars have not been deemed worth the cost of even a significant tax increase. Think about that. Did Congress ever come to us because of Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, any ongoing battle? They haven't even come to us in Ukraine. I know we don't have soldiers directly involved in Ukraine, but our military strength is being given to Ukraine, and yet we've not been asked for a tax increase. Now, we're being taxed through inflation, and we're being taxed in having to replenish all of that material that we provide to the Ukrainians. But it's not like, as a nation, we've been approached and said, listen, we're going to do this. It's in our national security interest. It's vital to the survival of the United States. And therefore, we're going to increase or put a surcharge on all incomes of X or all wealth or whatever in order to finance this. We haven't been asked to do that. Compare and contrast that to World War II. Now, I know that World War II is not comparable to the war in Ukraine. We're fighting a proxy war in Ukraine. But still, on this Memorial Day, Ukrainian soldiers are dying. Russian soldiers are dying. Ukrainians may know what they're dying for. I'm not convinced the Russian soldiers know what they're dying for. It means that this idea of a war limited by its political cost is nothing new. Wars are fought for an object. And when the cost of war exceeds the value of the object, it will likely come to a conclusion. But such instrumental use of violence sits uneasily alongside the soaring rhetoric of the grand public motive to which the fallen have given up their lives. Let's don't lose that. Regardless of what you think of Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Ukraine, Vietnam, or Korea, regardless of what you think about any of those wars, people gave up their lives. Even if they weren't Americans, but particularly if they were Americans, because after all, this is our Memorial Day weekend. And I think on our Memorial Day weekend, we really do owe it. Regardless of whether it's 1 in 50 or 1 in 50,000, and whether it's a world war that upends everything about society and the economy, and everything is focused on winning that war, or it's a war of choice, and we all go about our business, and we read about it or hear about it on the nightly news, comes to our living room through television, we still owe this day to those who gave those lives. That's what's most important about Memorial Day weekend. So go find that family member, or go find that coworker, and ask them. I don't know how you approach them, but ask them. I'd like to hear your stories, if you're willing to tell them. It's the Weekend with Michael Brown. Text the word Michael to 33103. I'll read all your text messages this weekend because I'd love to hear your thoughts. Hang tight. I'll be right back.
I am dedicated. I am TNT.
With team and training, you will reach your best physical self so blood cancer patients can reach theirs. Change your life by joining a marathon, half marathon, triathlon, or a cycle event, and you'll change the lives of blood cancer patients.
I am committed. I am TNT.
After 600,000 participants and almost $1 billion raised for treatments, TNT has helped the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society make a significant impact in the advancement of blood cancer therapies that save lives every day.
I am making a difference. I am TNT.
Join TNT. Expand your circle of friends to be part of a very special community. Train with world-class trainers and have the chance to be part of the most exciting endurance sports events in the country. Or train on your own schedule with TNT Flex. Join TNT and fundraise while you train and take part in getting us all closer to a world without blood cancers.
Join TNT now. Go to teamintraining.org.
Invest in your future today with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. Get job ready fast with one of our high-demand career technical programs like nursing, heavy equipment, and welding. Or work on transferring to a CSU or UC with guarantee placement. Full-time students get 2 years tuition-free. Summer session begins June 9th. Click or call 242-7650. Your success starts at Shasta College.
Join me, Mark Levin, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. KCNR, your talk radio.
Donald Trump is doing something that's never been done in American history. Now, what Trump is trying to do all at once, he wants to, what I call, reindustrialize America.
Mark Levin is on the radio.
KCNR, your talk radio.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. You've been in an accident with your vehicle. You call your insurance. The first thing they do is tell you where to go to get an estimate and repairs. Well, tell them where to go. And come see us at Coachmaster. They're sending you to their discount repair shop to get the cheapest repair possible. This is not in your best interest. You have the right to choose Coachmaster to do your repairs. All we need is your claim number and we can handle the entire process. At Coachmaster, we don't repair your vehicle for the insurance company. We repair it for you. We use quality parts and products to ensure the highest quality repairs. Your vehicle will be returned to a pre-loss condition. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Step into a world of adventure at the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair on May 24th and 25th. The Anderson Fairgrounds transforms into a realm of knights, jesters, and magic. Watch thrilling armored combat, enjoy lively Celtic and folk music, feast like royalty, and shop handcrafted treasures from artisans far and wide. Tickets are just $15 for adults, $13 for youth, 11 to 17, and kids 10 and under. Get in free. Get yours now at Eventbrite and skip the lines. Proudly sponsored by Shasta Stalls, your local consignment gift shop featuring unique finds, handcrafted goods, and arts and craft classes at 2185 North Street in Henderson, and Reading Anime, your hub for anime, gaming, and pop culture in the North State. And Creature Comforts, the rock and roll barbershop at 2181 North Street in Henderson, where you can get a fresh cut and enjoy a free beer while you wait. Don't miss out on the magic. Join us May 24th and 25th at the Shasta Renaissance and Fantasy Fair. Hoorah!
World War II was delivered to Americans that were alive at that time, the greatest generation, was delivered to them via radio. There wasn't television. I mean, there were newsreels, yeah, but you went to a theater, but there weren't the networks. And there wasn't a television or multiple televisions in every household. How many TVs do you have in your household? Wasn't that way during World War II. And when people tuned into the radio, they sat and they listened to the radio. They didn't watch anything. They may have looked at each other. They may have sat and eaten, you know, snacks or something with some Kool-Aid and crackers and cheese or something, but that was it. But fast forward to the war of choice that most of us lived through. And that, of course, was the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War was delivered to us by television. This is NBC News, January 20th, 1969.
An allied force of more than 8,000 men today tightened its hold on the Batangan Peninsula on South Vietnam's central coast, trapping an undetermined number of North Vietnamese and Viet Cong troops in tunnel and bunker systems. Yesterday, the Allies killed 23 of the enemy and captured 136. In the Mekong Delta, the Saigon government and the Viet Cong continued their struggle for the allegiance of the people. Here is a report on that struggle, some of it shown in captured Viet Cong film, from NBC News correspondent Bob Jones.
There is nothing subtle about Viet Cong village indoctrination. The communists carry signs saying they are taking over the Saigon government, and their very presence in the village is usually enough to convince the average Vietnamese farmer. The VC method isn't all banners and marching in the streets, of course. They also bring in skilled political theoreticians who know how to talk to farmers about local grievances in words calculated to move them to the side of the National Liberation Front. The people are promised that the time is close at hand when the National Liberation Front will emerge victorious and a new flag will fly over every village in the South. The government's answer to all of this has been to imitate the Viet Cong. It almost looks like the same man is running both sides of the program. Workers called Revolutionary Development Cadremen wear the black pajamas associated with the Viet Cong. The banner slogans are changed slightly to urge the Viet Cong to get out of Vietnam. The imitation includes entertainment for the villagers. In this case, it may lack in artistic quality, but it's good enough to hold the attention of the village school children. When Washington and Saigon designed Revolutionary Development several years ago as a copy of the successful Viet Cong program, the hope was that eventually villagers might find a spot in their hearts for the government of President Q and Vice President Ky and turn their backs on the Viet Cong.
The only trouble with the Allied version is that it has not worked. Like many other experiments out here, Revolutionary Development is now on its way out. In its place are expected American troops. The new theory is that Revolutionary Development may look good on paper, but nothing pacifies quite like old-fashioned military might. Bob Jones, NBC News, in the Mekong Delta.
Isn't that fascinating? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? Wars are delivered to us differently. It's the weekend of Michael Brown. It's Memorial Day weekend. Text the word Michael to 33103. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Weekend with Michael Brown.
Trust and Will knows that we'll all eventually need a will. How about right now? Trust and Will makes creating your will easy, like while you're lounging on the couch easy. Trust and Will is designed by attorneys but customized by you, and all documents are state-specific and secure. Find your plan at trustandwill.com and use offer code RADIO now for 20% off. That's trustandwill.com, offer code RADIO. Trust and Will is an online estate planning service. Visit trustandwill.com for details.
Your life and your loved ones' lives depends on what you've done to prepare. Disasters, shortages, supply chain failures, they're not ifs, they're whens. don't be left without life-saving medication. The Jace case is a prescribed set of emergency antibiotics, life-saving medications you have on hand before you need them, offering peace of mind, no panicking, fast, affordable, and could save your life. Go to JASE.com. Use code RADIO for a discount, because once the shelves are empty, it's already too late.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.